Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
College bowl season's wrapping up. National championship is next week. We got the NFL playoffs. And of course, we still got NBA, NFL, NCAA basketball, you name it. And I know where I'm going to make my money. It's mybookie.ag. They've been in business for years. They got great reviews. And, of course, you can bet mobile. Not just from your laptop. And there's plenty of ways to make money. You can bet fantasy points or how many points a player player scores in a game. How many rebounds, goals, assists, you name it. Plenty of ways to make money, you guys. And, of course, if you go in now, enter promo code CHAIR, C-H-E-I-R, they'll match your deposit bonus. So you put in $100, you get $100 back. A free play. So go to mybookie.ag. You bet, you win, you get paid. All right, y'all. Welcome in to another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. And brought to you by Armchair Media. Take a seat. It's Friday before the madness begins. And I'm talking about, well, the holiday. This is pretty much your last day of the holiday for the most part for a lot of people. As Monday is reality. It's reality for, well, you, if you've been off for a while, your kids. Because obviously they've probably been living the time of their lives. They're, you know, they're playing with their toys or video games and whatnot. They're staying up later in the evening. And of course, they're eating up every damn piece of food in your house. Yeah, it's a lot to talk about. That's a lot loaded. Or just for some of you, if you don't have kids, you know, you took the holidays off, and I think maybe I did that one time when I was a bachelor. You know, it's great being off, and eventually you get back, and it's reality. And plus, the traffic is another thing too. I mean, I've enjoyed driving to work with a lot less traffic. No school traffic. People off from work. It's great. But Monday, yeah, it'll be all kinds of things. But whatever. Now, as far as going back to some things that happened after the last podcast, before New Year's, and speaking of that, yeah, I tried to go to a Starbucks to order, I guess to get food. Well, not food, but coffee. And the drive-thru was lined up. And so just out of quick, it took forever to order. So what I did was I rolled down my window to see what was going on, because a lot of times you can hear them ordering. In this case, I'm not sure if it was a new hire or hungover, but the person taking the order kept repeating the order back at least 3 or 4 times. So my gut feeling is this. Well, one, it's probably, kind of slow this time of the day, because it was a morning. Maybe it's a new hire, or maybe people were just hungover. Because it was, you know, it was New Year's Day. I know for a fact, in college, I used to work at Circuit City. Working on New Year's Day was horrible. Especially if you've been, you know, if you've been partying all night, because you're still trying to wrap your head around a lot of things. There's nothing more, you know, fun than trying to bubble wrap something like an open box item, because like a lot of times people buy, you know, stuff that's open box that's come back or once was a display item. Trying to bubble wrap, like say like a television, I had to do one time, hungover. Yeah, it's not fun. Hangovers, for the most part, suck. Anyhow, I took a lot of, some flack for drinking White Claw on New Year's. But, to be honest with you, as far as alcohol goes, it's less harsh on me. And the recovery for me isn't as bad as if I'm drinking IPAs and other microbrews. I mean, I love me a good microbrew and a nice beer. But if I drink 3 or 4 of those, you know, I get jacked up pretty easily because my tolerance is bad. And I used to have really good tolerance, but, you know, kids change that because you're not drinking as much. But anyways, let's get back to some other stuff. You know, last time I podcasted, we talked about the Jalen Hood-Schifino commitment and some of the hypotheticals and things. And not so too long after, you know, pretty much after I released that podcast, a lot of stuff came into the, you know, the light, for one thing. By Jalen's commitment. Basically, he's really sold on Jeff Capel when he's doing a pit. And that's, you know, he really looks up to Jeff Capel. And the opportunity to come back home and, you know, quote unquote home and play is what attracts him. And talking, you know, and seeing Drew Schifino, who's his uncle. Drew even said that Jalen is sold on Jeff Capel, and he's pretty much ride or die with Pitt unless something happens to Jeff Capel. And even his mom had a post about Jeff Capel as well, so they're very sold on this guy. And it's really good on Jeff Capel because there's no doubt that other recruits will take notice of this and say, hey, you know what, maybe Jeff is doing something really, really special here. He's got something really going to Pitt that's really good. I mean, and he won't sign for a good while. A lot can happen. I don't think Jeff Capel will, you know, I think Jeff Capel between now and when Jalen Hood-Schifino signs will leave Pitt. I don't think there's really an opportunity that he would leave Pitt for at this point of his career. People, you know, have mentioned before that, you know, what if Duke, you know, calls back? Well, I don't see Coach K leaving anytime soon. And I really don't see Jeff Capel going back to Duke if that were the case. I think there's somebody else that probably would hire instead that maybe they've groomed for this position. I don't think they would, you know, hire Coach Capel back. Unless, for some reason, Coach Capel starts lying it up at Pitt on the recruiting trail and starts winning games. And that's the thing. Pitt's hoops program needs to show progress as well. We can't, you know, have it get this commitment and all this great stuff and take a nosedive in the one loss column, because that's when things really start to take notice. But, you know, Pitt had a, you know, out of a conference, Pitt didn't do too bad. They had some nice wins. Of course, they had the loss to Nicholls State that pissed people off, but that was early in the season. They struggled. They had some nice wins over, you know, K-State, Northwestern are two notables. And with conference play looming, it's hard to, you know, we love to see Pitt pass its win total from last year. And that's a possibility still. The only problem is Pitt's inside presence is very lacking, and it shows in certain games when they can't rebound. But Pitt's going to pretty much have to, you know, fight like wild animals, I guess you can say. Now, the women's side, last night they lost to North Carolina by 8. Pitt women's, their last 4 losses have been by single digits. I mean, the effort's there. Lance White just needs time. He needs plenty of time. Because the effort's there, the progress is there. He's got to get his players in, and he's got to build the program. So, this whole thing with the women's program isn't going to be overnight. I mean, things really went by the wayside with Susie McConnell. And Lance obviously has to rebuild this, and he has to put his mark on his own mark in. And, of course, the light turns green, and this car behind me is beeping as if everybody else is going to start moving a lot faster. I mean, it's Friday. Chill out. I forgot my work badge as well, so I always keep my car, and, of course, well, I didn't keep in my car this time. Oh, boy. I don't think I kept in my bag either, but, you know, that's life, I guess. Oh, well. Anyways. Back to some more stuff. Parrish Ford has officially announced that he'll be back at Pitt. So, pretty much, some key contributors to our defense. They're back. They're going to be back. Now, what's this do as far as Pitt's defense is concerned? A lot of good things. Next season, I wouldn't really start setting the expectations too high. I know I made a joke that the 11 wins should be pretty easy. And I was joking, and people got kind of serious about it. And I'm like, yeah, I was kidding, guys. My bad. You know, on social media, you can't really, people have a hard time reading about, about sarcasm. So, yeah, it's hard to detect sarcasm when you're typing, on the electronic world or digital world, whatever. But with Parrish Ford back, a lot of good things. Now, Pitt also landed a transfer yesterday by the name of Joey Yellen. He's a quarterback from Arizona State. I mean, he was a 3-year, 4-star recruit. Supposedly, he was pretty decent. When it was announced he was transferring, the Athletics Pitt, as they call themselves, the gang of 15-year-olds who blog about Pitt, mentioned him as a possibility. And a lot of people, you know, some people thought they were nuts. And I totally understand why. Just because the guy's available doesn't mean Pitt's going to go after him. But to their credit, they were right. Pitt went after him and Pitt got him. And I got no complaints on the more the merrier. We seem to love transfers in terms of quarterbacks. And Patrick Doozy said, you know, when they didn't take a quarterback recruit for the class, that it's all about getting the right guy, not just, you know, landing anybody. They need the right person. Obviously, they like Joey, so props to him. Now, speaking of the whole Paris Ford stuff, I mean, PGA Sports Now, I guess, reported on Paris Ford, I guess, not too long before he announced the decision that they said he would stay, and Paris said the bowl game he was undecided. But I think if you look at the signs, all signs pointed to him coming back anyway. I mean, he was an explorer of the NFL, but you could tell by his interview, the body language and not much, that he was going to come back. I mean, the signs were there. But, of course, when he was undecided, people jumped on the editor of the site, Vuk, as I would call him, or as everybody calls him. And obviously, when he announced that he was coming back, Vuk decided to do the I told you so on Twitter, and Paris decided to give him a little humbling, I guess you can call it. And ultimately, Vuk said that when he reported this, that he said that, Paris would announce it, it would be his decision. That's why, you see the delay in it. But, Paris said, hey, you know what, it's not your, this was for me to decide, for me to announce it, not for you to go running your mouth about it. And to Vuk's credit, I'm sure he had the information. Maybe he had it from Paris, maybe he had it from someone close to Paris. I mean, when you have a site, that's what you do. You go for leads, you get information. You grab which way you can, and that's that. I mean, but, when people are jumping down your throat about it, a lot of times, going and, on social media and yapping about it right away isn't always the answer. A lot of times you'd be quiet, you'd be humble about it. The people who called you out and thought you were wrong. I have that habit in my job as well. I mean, where I'm right all along and I don't do a I told you so an email. I just let morons be I just let morons be morons, I guess you can say. And eventually down the road you can say, hey, you know what? You said I was wrong about this, and I was right about that, and I was right about that, and I was right about that. But that's just how I would do it. Whatever. But, Paris is back. We got another transfer, quarterback. So there we go. Because, obviously, I think Pickett's going to be the man no matter what, unless he really fucks up. Or unless one of these guys all of a sudden just comes out of the blue and just does a bunch of stuff. But anyways, guys, with the holidays ending, for a lot of people that are off, obviously Monday you got to be ready to go. Everybody has to be ready to go. But there may be some moments when you're not ready. Those special moments when the smoke clears and kids are in bed, or if maybe the kids are not in bed, maybe you're with that special someone, and maybe you need some assistance. That's why we got Blue Chew. It's blue, just like certain pills. Same with green, it's like certain pills. But the best part is it's chewable, so it's going to work a lot faster. You can take them any part time of the day. Empty your full stomach. And it's going to give you that extra pep in your step, extra confidence. The extra zoom, zoom is going to get you going. So you can go zoom, zoom in your boom, boom. Or in the boom, boom, whatever. So go to BlueChew.com, enter the promo code ARMCHAIR, and get your first order free. All you got to do is pay the shipping. All right, guys, back to the other stuff. We talked about Pitt ad nauseum. We talked a good bit about that. The hoops, football. Also, they extended the volleyball coach, which was deserved. I mean, what's been done with women's volleyball has been amazing. And I'm glad to see Pitt putting up to extend them. And I know things didn't end too well with the tournament, and that happens. But they had a hell of a year, and they had a hell of a run in the conference, and it's well deserved. So, awesome. Now, the Steelers wrapped up their season. They finished 8-8. Obviously, they were 8-5 at one point. Dropping their last three then the season was no big surprise. Them dropping for one thing, they lost to the Jets. Once they lost to the Jets, you knew they were going to pretty much lose the last game as well. Because Robert Griffin's still, he's not bad. He's no slouch. The Ravens have a hell of a team. And, of course, some of the Steelers were upset because supposedly they kept showing the Texans and Tennessee score. I guess to rub it in. But, that's a rivalry. That's what stuff does. Pitt's done at the Baltimore at Heinz Field at certain times. So, Bud Dupree obviously was upset about it. And, get some thick skin. It's a rivalry. That's what happens. But, yeah, it was no surprise. And I think the writing was definitely on the wall when they lost to the Jets. And, Le'Veon Bell got his revenge. And Le'Veon, for the most part, excuse me, he actually won the offseason, if you think about it. He got his contract. I mean, it wasn't one that he wanted, that he was hoping for. But he got himself a nice deal. And he got paid, to rush for barely 800 yards in the season. I mean, his yards per carry was about 3 yards per carry, just about. And he got, obviously he had a really bad season, but he got paid to do it. So you're figuring $1 per yards rushing. I mean, he saved the year of his health. And, of course, he got a good wad of change for not having, to do much. He had to show up, run for a few yards, and that was that. And on top of that, he did it for a shitty team, and not a lot of people were going to notice. So, I have to say, Le'Veon, he did a hell of a job with this. But after I lost to the Jets, the writing pretty much was done. Once the Texans clinched their division, and they were going to rest their starters because it didn't really matter or make a difference what happened in Week 16, Tennessee was still fighting for a playoff spot. So once that happened, once Texans were resting their starters, that was pretty much it for the Steelers. for them to qualify, they were going to have to win their games, and they didn't. And that's ultimately why they're sitting at home, and the Titans are in the playoffs this weekend. But overall, Mike Tomlin did a hell of a job, and I'm surprised he's not cashing in on this. You know, obviously he's not, appreciated for the most part by certain media people, and a lot of people don't like him. Personally, if I were him, I would have taken this, what he did with the personnel he had at that point, and I would just, I would have cashed in on it. I would have handed Jerry Jones or whoever a blank check and said, here you go. Well, actually, you know what? No, I take that back. Have Jerry or Daniel Snyder, or people like that looking for a head coach, hand him a blank check and let him sign whatever amount he needs or wants. Get yourself a hefty buyout and call it a day. Well, that's obviously not going to happen now. Obviously, he's staying with the Steelers. And Mike Tomlin, I'm saying a lot of obviouslys. But that's what I would have done. But, all in all, Tomlin didn't have a bad... I mean, this was one of his better coaching seasons. There's a lot of people in the national media who've really credited with what he did. Compared to some people in the local media who won't. Obviously there's some needs. Running back's a big need for the Steelers right now because they need a running back. I mean, James Conner has nothing to prove to me. He has nothing to prove to anybody for what he's been through. I mean, the fact that he battled, a deadly disease, and he's playing in the NFL now. There's a lot to be said, but unfortunately, he's not durable, and he can't really handle the workload because, obviously his body can't handle it. So the Steelers obviously need a running back. It's a big need, and I think they definitely need to go and get one either in the offseason or in the draft. Whether it's draft or free agency, they need a running back. Receiver may be maybe an area of concern, but they had a Deontay Johnson really stepped up. Juju Schuster-Smith had a really down year, and he had some impressive numbers when Antonio Brown was there. This year he wasn't healthy. And of course, he was on social media. People give a lot of crap for social media, but Duck Hodges had a 4-interception performance, and not too long after that performance, he was on social media. He was actually going to a movie, so I didn't see anybody that totally dislikes Juju have the same issue. I mean, if Juju was a quarterback and he threw 4 INTs and he was at a movie, people would be asking, why is he at the movies and on social media when he should be studying his playbook? I think in terms of Duck, maybe he should have been studying the playbook, studying the film, because, why he threw 4 picks. But the guys, he did all he could. We saw what we have with him and Mason, and these guys obviously aren't viable options. Obviously, again, I'm using obviously as, starters. I mean, they're backups. That's just all they are. And you can't really build a team around Hodges. He just is what he is. He's basically Mason Rudolph. Well, not Mason. Well, he basically is Mason. Hell, he's Baker Mayfield pretty much. He's a discount version of Baker Mayfield. Because, you know, people have, you know, have figured out Baker. And that's really what happened here this season. On top of that, his, the play calling and stuff like that in Cleveland was a mess. But hey, you know, Freddie Kitchens and that team was so hip. And, you know, because they had Odell, they had Baker, and they were just hip, you know. They were with it. Baker does these dances, does all this stuff. He's so cool. Well, it got him another non-playoff season. Oh, well. But as far as the field is, you know, has been set, AFC, everybody's, you know, everybody loves Baltimore, which is obvious. But with New England in the folds, you have to be wary about them because, for one thing, New England has game film on Lamar Jackson and they, you never know what they're going to do to find ways to neutralize him. So, playoffs are a different story. The NFC is a different story itself because there's so many teams viable for this. San Francisco, obviously, so you got Seattle, you got Green Bay, you got Minnesota. I mean, that whole field is crowded. That's going to be, the NFC is going to be an exciting bracket to watch because I'm sure there's going to be so many good games. I'm not really sure about the AFC. AFC is just pretty much top heavy. It's basically, you know, it's basically Baltimore and New England. I mean, you got KC as well. We can't forget about them. And Kansas City earlier should be Baltimore. So we'll see what happens there. And of course, bowl season's wrapping up. If it hasn't already. You know, the Rose Bowl is always a fun bowl game to watch, especially on New Year's Day. It was fun to see Paul Chryst animate. I never seen that animated before, and I'm thinking he was probably saying that was not neat. And he always dresses like he got his stuff at Kohl's. I mean, he's basically the coach for all the dads who drive minivans and wear white shoes with denim shorts. Or with those khaki shorts, you know, like the, not the cargo, but the khaki ones. Paul Chryst is that person. But I don't know. If Paul Chryst would wear shorts, I think he would wear cargos. Or he would just not wear shorts at all. He would probably wear flat out jeans in the summer. It's hard to say. I think he would be a jeans, no matter what type of guy. And probably some sort of t-shirt, like a Russell Athletic t-shirt, for the most part. Yeah, a plain t-shirt, and probably, you know, jeans in the summer. Or if he did wear, stuff, it'd be like a golf shirt. You know, it was golf shirts and maybe some shorts. It's hard to say with them. I think Paul Chryst and shorts in general would be kind of scary itself. But as far as bowl season goes, ACC's at 4-5, and of course Clemson has one more game. SEC's going to finish 6-2 right now. So they're sitting pretty right now to brag about themselves. And, of course, Tennessee won last night against Indiana. Indiana, I guess, had the lead and, of course, lost on an onside, I think it was onside kick. And then, you know, Tennessee would score eventually. But that's why they're Indiana. I mean, they had a chance to really build on their season. I mean, the coach was emotional, saying that we need people to come to the games and support. Well, this is pretty much why people don't go to, you know, the Indiana to watch games. They'll go for basketball because it's really hard to take them serious in football. Jim Harbaugh lost another game as well. I think you still, I don't think you fire Harbaugh yet. I think you need to give him, Michigan's a big mess, and you need to let Harbaugh continue to build on this. He's got, you know, a decent play caller in Josh Gattis, and you got to give him time to build this because, I mean, you went from Lloyd Carr, then Rich Rod totally changed everything. Then you had Hoke. And then you went right to Harbaugh. So you got to let them build. And, you know, they're winning games. It's just they're not beating, you know, Ohio State and Penn State for the most part. And, well, I don't know if they beat Notre Dame or not. I'm not sure. But to be honest, they haven't really beat the teams they need to really beat. And, of course, they continually have lost to Ohio State. And that's the big thing as well. I thought this year would be the year that they would upset Ohio State. But they made too many mistakes, and Ohio State made them pay. But anyways, guys, happy Friday to you. Enjoy the last of the holidays, getting your clothes washed and whatnot. Getting your clothes ironed for what will be another fun week of traffic. I'm not looking forward to it because, you know, I have to pack lunches again and wake the kids up for school and get them dressed, make sure they're dressed, and, of course, and get their asses out of bed. I'm tired. My oldest has a orthodontist appointment, so he'll at least get to, you know, relax a little bit before he gets to go back in and deal with reality again. And of course, his teacher's making them write in cursive for the rest of the school year. And I told him that's not a bad thing. I said, I wrote, you know, for most, pretty much all of my elementary and, you know, high school, I wrote in cursive. That's just what we did. So, and as far as the news that's come out, you guys, as far as the, what's happening in the world of politics, all I can say is don't jump off the, flout the handle. Just wait and see how things play out. Yeah. Anyways, hell to pick, guys. Talk to you later.